May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 76. There is a period known to God when all his sheep, redeemed by blood, shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold, and enter in. Hymn 76.
Thank you. Reading from God's word is taken from the gospel recorded by John, the 10th chapter. John chapter 10. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come, that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and fleeth, and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the flock. The hire fleeth because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. There is a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? And it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple, in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all. And no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, Ye are gods. If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest. Because I said, I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me, and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand and went away beyond Jordan into the place where John at first baptized, and there he abode. And many resorted unto him and said, John did no miracle. But all things that John spake of this man are true. And many believed on him there. May God's blessing rest upon his word of truth. May he now help us in prayer. Almighty and Holy Lord God, do help us now to pray. Teach us what to ask for. May we have access before thy holy throne this morning hour. We thank thee, Lord, for the mercies that bring us into the house of God again. For the blessings of thy word which we've read of this morning. Lord, help us to rejoice that thou hast given thy life for thy sheep. And we pray, Lord, that we may be found among that sheep, that little flock, of whom it is the Father's good pleasure to give a kingdom. And Lord, may we have the evidence of sheep that we hear thy voice, that we understand and recognize it as thy voice, and that we heed it and follow what it tells us to do. Do give us now a sense of reverence and an appreciation of thy presence. Help us to adore at thy holy majesty and to kneel at thy throne. Help us, Lord, to crown thee Lord of all. And do reign as God and King in our hearts. We pray thy blessing upon thy word we've read. Make it a profitable word to us. Let it not be said, Lord, we believe not because we are not of thy sheep. But may we be given this day that living faith to believe on thee and to know that gift of eternal life through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We pray, Lord, that thou wouldst draw us near to thee, and that we might worship in thy near holy presence. May we know the smile of the Almighty and be under thy tender care and keeping. We pray thy blessing to rest upon this church and people. We ask, Lord, that thou wouldst watch over them and be very near unto them, that thou wouldst grant them thy richest blessing and thy favour as a people and in their individual lives. Guide them, Lord. Direct them aright. Bless them with living faith. Bless them with a close and near walk with thee. Feed them in a green pasture. And grant them those still waters of life to refresh and revive their souls. Bless thy servants whom thou descend into this pulpit. Give each a word to speak and give each ears to hear. Lord, do grant them success in their daily lives as far as is right in thy sight. Open doors of thy approving. May, Lord, they prove thy tender care and keeping. May thy blessing to rest upon the deacons of this cause, that thou wouldst grant them all needed help and blessing and strength and wisdom, and that thou wouldst bless each member of this church knit it together in love and in union. Guard it and keep Satan out, Lord. Keep them together. Keep them humble, prayerful, exercised. May they be fruitful to thine honour and thy glory. And add unto them those whom thou hast eternally saved. And do, Lord, bring in others to worship here. And grant, Lord, that the empty pews may be filled. And that thy kingdom may increase, and that souls may be met and called by thy holy, matchless, divine, resistless grace. Remember the children and the young people. Guide them in life's morning time. And Lord, may they be privileged to walk their whole life through with thee and be made pillars in thy church in a generation to come. Bless those in the midst of life, with its burdens, concerns, needs, encouragements and discouragements. Lord, may they prove thee to be their helper and their guide. And bless those at the end of life's journey, in its evening time. Sanctify bodily weakness, human frailty, loneliness, weariness, sorrow, bereavement. May there be that exercise to be made right for their journey's end. And whilst they're here, may there be exercise to bear forth fruit in old age to thine honour and glory. Be with any, Lord, who need thee in any special way in this coming week. Do meet their case this day. Be with any who are in deep conviction of sin. Lead them to the smitten rock, Christ Jesus, and that precious blood that did once for sin atone. Be with any, Lord, who are completely dead in sin, utterly careless and indifferent. Lord, could it please thee to meet their souls this day and put that divine life and light into their hearts. And bless those who are already living, Lord. Do strengthen that faith. Do deepen that work. Do increase thee fruit, do draw nearer to thee. And grant, Lord, that there might be much spiritual health here. And may there be that growth in grace and in that knowledge of thee. Pray, Lord, that thou wouldst remember those who have turned in from elsewhere. May they feel at home today. And do bless thy church up and down this land and throughout the whole world. Help thy servants today to exalt a precious Christ, to lay the sinner low, to point to the only refuge and way of escape. Grant, Lord, there may be much prayer in the various congregations, that thy word may be powerful today and effectual. Remember our nation at this time of political uncertainty, and rule and overrule for thy glory and the good of thy people. And put in positions of authority those who know thy name and are not afraid to counsel that we should walk in the old paths of righteousness and truth. Grant, Lord, days of revival in this nation, and bring into thy houses sinners, thy sheep, whom it is thy will to call by thy grace. Lord, direct them to thy house of prayer, even to this house of prayer, and there meet with them. Lord, we ask that thou wouldst be not silent this day, but thou wouldst speak unto us that word of eternal life and love. Grant thy help in the Sabbath school this afternoon. May the seed sown there one day bear forth a copious harvest. Grant us now thy help and thy blessing. And say unto our souls, thou art our salvation. We ask for Jesus' sake, amen.
Hymn 341. Lord, hast thou made me know thy ways? Conduct me in thy fear, and grant me such supplies of grace that I may persevere. Hymn 341.
Seeking the Lord's help, we turn this morning to the Gospel recorded by John, chapter 10 and the 10th verse. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Amazing words these are. I am come. The salvation of the Church of God rests on them. If Jesus had not come, there would have been no hope. There would have been no salvation. There would have been no heaven. But Jesus has come. And Jesus has accomplished all the work that his Father gave him to do. I am come. And the whole reason he came was to give this abundant life to his little flock. The whole reason he came was to save sinners. And the chiefest of sinners at that. I am come. He came into the womb of the Virgin Mary. In that amazing, deep work that we cannot understand or try to explain. But this we can say, that the Holy Ghost worked, because he had a love, a divine love, a holy love, a special love, a peculiar love for every single one that make up this little flock. And it was out of love to them that he did that almighty, mysterious, holy work when he formed in that womb, the human nature of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I am come to Bethlehem. And here those angels rejoicing as they worshipped God at the birth of the Saviour. Hear that message to those shepherds. Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Saviour, who is Christ the Lord. The work of salvation began at Bethlehem. The Lord Jesus commenced his work when he drew his first breath. And what an amazing stoop. Did he take to exchange heaven's glory for that manger? To exchange heaven, where the highest place in heaven was his by right, to come to that place where there was no room for him in the inn. Now you see, even from before his birth, he was rejected of men. There was room for our other guests of various sorts, but none for him. And so it was throughout his life, no room for him. And so it is still. And friends, is there room for the Saviour in your heart? If the Saviour is in your heart, it will show in your life. What fruits are there in our lives that we have the Saviour in our hearts? I am come. He came to Bethlehem. There you see the gift of the Father's love. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever liveth and believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. An amazing gift of an amazing God with an amazing love. The gift of God. His Son, no less, his only Son, given for the life of his church. I am come. I am come to Nazareth, where he spent the majority of his life, in that humble carpenter's home. Where he lived, doing the will of his heavenly Father, raised in those humble surroundings, in that despised city of Nazareth. I am come. I am come to Jerusalem, where at the age of 12 we hear those first recorded words of the Saviour, "Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" That business was first and foremost central in the Saviour's mind at all times. And beloved friends, it should be central in our lives at all times to seek to glorify and magnify God's great and holy name in how we live, in how we talk, in our spirit, Christ has set the example that we should follow his steps. I am come. I am come to Jordan to set that example in which all believers are commanded for love's sake to follow. In that holy believer's baptism, a path ordained for sinners saved by grace. A path ordained for those who know this Good Shepherd. For those who have been taught the preciousness and the sacredness and the suitability of the name of Jesus. And you need not fear where the Lord's presence is. He has already trodden that path. And when he calls his sheep to tread in any path, he goes before them first. Not only with them, he goes before them, he leads them. And where you see your Lord leading, ask him to give you the grace to follow, for love's sake. If ye love me, keep my commandments. He came to Jordan's river, and it is his revealed will that all believers should also come to that holy point. I am come. And here, at Jordan's river, because the baptism of our Lord was really the close of his private life, hear the voice of the Father. With that witness of that private life of which we know so little, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. We hear that voice again near the end of his public life saying the same words. He is well pleased with every aspect of the life of his Son. Because in that life was absolute perfection. In that life was complete obedience. In that life he completely satisfied the demands of the holy law of God. I am come. I am come into Galilee to preach the word of God. On another occasion he said, if I had not come, speaking of the Pharisees, and they had not had sin. And those of us who are privileged to read the scriptures and hear the gospel preached are without excuse. All are without excuse. But those who hear the word of God week by week are without excuse the most. You ever profited from hearing the word of God preached? Have you ever profited from reading the Holy Scriptures? Has it had an effect in your life? If it hasn't, what right have you to say you are one of God's sheep? Because we have the mark of the sheep here. My sheep hear my voice. And that means that that voice has an effect. It has an influence. It causes a change in the life to take place. You sang of it in your opening hymn. There is a period known to God when all his sheep redeemed by blood shall leave the hateful ways of sin, turn to the fold and enter in. If you are leaving the hateful ways of sin and going in the way of life instead, then there will be a change. In your attitude, in your spirit, in your conversation, in your principles, in your pursuits, from what they were before you left those ways of sin. Now, can you trace out that change? Thank God if you can. But if you can't, go to God in prayer and ask him to make that change in your life. Not enough just to come to the house of God week by week. It's right and good in its place, but it's not enough to save you from eternal hell. What you need is a good shepherd to come into your life personally. And that is what we read in the life of the Lord, how he personally came into so many people's lives that he met, and how he changed them. Has he come then into our hearts through the teaching of the Holy Spirit? If he comes, you'll see things that you never saw before he came. You will know something of what it is to be a sinner. And whereas before it didn't really mean much to you, easily explained away, easily forgiven, easily forgotten, but when God comes into your heart, and when he calls you sinner, then there's a difference. You won't be able to shake it off. You will not be able to forget it. You will not be able to ignore it. You will not be able to put it out your mind. And that effect of him coming will bring you on your knees to pray to God for forgiveness and for mercy and for pardon and for peace. Hezekiah speaks of having great bitterness in exchange for peace. You've known anything of that bitterness of unforgiven sin? Of that bitterness that you must one day face a holy God before his throne of judgment? That bitterness of realizing you must give an account before God? That bitterness of realizing you cannot save yourself? That realization of your need of salvation, whereas before it meant nothing to you that the Lord Jesus Christ had come. You were indifferent to it. You ignored it. Now there is a difference. Because now you see that you are a sinner needing salvation. That now you are a sinner needing a Saviour. And that Saviour is Christ Jesus the Lord. I am come. And you who are in that bitterness of conviction of sin this morning, may you know what Isaiah penned of the experience of Hezekiah. But thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. I am come. The whole reason that the Spirit of God convicts and convinces of sin is to lead that sinner to Jesus Christ. It's to show that need of mercy, of pardon, and of forgiveness, and then to supply that need. And whatever you need this morning in your soul, it can richly be supplied by Jesus Christ. I am come. He can come and give you peace. He can come and give you pardon. He can come and give you rest. He can come and give you blessing. He can come and give you that word of encouragement. That word of love, I am come. He can come and give you that grace, that faith, that love that you feel to lack, but have so much in need of. I am come. As he says here, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He lived his life here for the sheep. He was born for the sheep. And he died for the sheep. And what did he come to upon this earth? Those various places. How he went about doing good. How he cured the leper. How he gave sight to the blind. How he raised to life the dead. How he fed the 5,000. How he stilled the storm on Galilee. How he went about preaching the kingdom of God. I am come. But then he came. But a few days after, he spake these very words to Jerusalem to die. And before he suffered, What tender care did he take of his sheep, both his immediate disciples and his church to the end of time? What precious words did he speak in the succeeding chapters to this one? How in kindness he instituted that ordinance of the Lord's Supper to remind his sheep of his holy dying love and of the price of their pardon. He knew that they would need reminding, and he wasn't so taken up with his own impending death that he forgot the needs of his sheep to the end of time. In love, he instituted that ordinance of the Lord's Supper, that remembrance of the suffering, of the death, and also of the resurrection and the triumph of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I am come. And again he bids his sheep to come to that table. And again, believer, you've no reason to fear and to dread coming to that table, because you'll find his presence there. I am come. But then how he encouraged his disciples. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. What encouraging words to his disciples. The Saviour has gone to prepare a place in his Father's house for each and every one of his sheep. What precious words did he speak? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the only way to God. But what a mercy that there is a way. We should be thankful. We should rejoice and marvel at that way. And we should seek that we may be put and drawn and led and kept in that way. And if by faith you can trace this morning that you are in that way, you should rejoice with thankfulness to God for his abundant mercy, for his great kindness, and for his holy love to you. How he spake of the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, who he has sent to the church as a guide, as a comforter, as a teacher, as a friend. How he spake of that peace that he would leave. Peace I leave with you. Not as the world, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Peace. That peace which was to cost him so great, so dear. I am come. How he warned that in the world ye shall have tribulation. There's no uncertainty about it. And it's not only some believers who have tribulation, all believers will have it in the world. And you must expect it. You must expect that opposition, that hatred, that difficulty. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Victory is not in doubt, child of God. Because your Saviour is stronger than the world that opposes you and that hates you this morning. And in God's good time, you will be made an overcomer. But in the meantime, you have to walk in measure the way your Master walked while he was here below. He came into the path of suffering and contradiction of sinners against himself. He came into the path of temptation of the devil. He came into that path of being rejected of men. He came into that path of sorrow. And in measure his sheep must walk the same way. But the point is, you won't walk alone. Your shepherd will go before you. And as he leads you, he knows what he's leading you into. He will be with you every step of that journey. And he will give you all sufficient grace, all sufficient strength, all sufficient patience that you are going to need as you tread that way. You'd say this morning you've come to the end of your patience. You have come to the end of your understanding. You've come to the end of your faith. But he hasn't come to the end. He giveth more grace. And he still has got more grace to give. He giveth more grace when burdens grow greater. He sendeth more strength when labours increase. To added affliction, he addeth his mercy. To multiplied trials, his multiplied peace. When we have reached the end of our strength, when our courage has failed ere the day is half done, when we've reached the end of all our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving has only begun. His love has no limit. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundary, no nor an end. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus, he giveth and giveth and giveth again. Yes, you've come to the end, but he has not. Therefore, ask him humbly to give you more grace. Yes, you've been brought to that point to where you've been reminded that you aren't as deeply taught and as strong and as gracious as you thought you were. You've been humbled. And that's one of the reasons you were brought into that path. But ask God to give you that grace, that humility, that strength, that depth that you thought you had, but now realize you didn't. And you'll prove that God is still a giving God who delights and who loves to give. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He came to Gethsemane. Behold that scene of matchless grace. In that cold winter's night. And yet such was that conflict in his holy soul that we see that mysterious, holy, sacred sweat of blood. And there we see the fountain opened for sin and uncleanness. It wasn't the Roman soldiers that opened that fountain. The Saviour himself opened it in that garden of Gethsemane. Hear him cry, that agonized cry, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And the fact that that cup did not pass from him shows us clearly that the only way that you and I can receive forgiveness of sin, the only way you and I can escape hell, the only way you and I can find safety and a refuge for our soul is in the sufferings and death of Jesus Christ. God will not forgive or pardon sin in any other way. I am come. But with what love and mercy, amazing love and amazing mercy, did the Saviour willingly come to that point where he stood in the place of the sinner? And when, child of God, you were justly condemned to death, eternal death, as the right and proper punishment for your sin, he, the Saviour, came right where you were and took your place. And took your condemnation and took your guilt and see him bear it away to that cross. See him suffer upon that cross. As the almighty vengeance and anger of God is poured out upon him, see those hours of darkness, a darkness over the whole world that could be felt. A darkness that had never been so deep before or since. As the Saviour bore that almighty anger. As the Saviour felt the separation from the presence of his Father. As the Saviour felt the frown of the Father instead of his smile. Believer, he came there for love of you. And May you be enabled to walk in his footsteps for love of him. But he triumphed at Calvary's cross. He defeated Satan. He paid in full that debt which was charged to his door. And now, for those who are brought to faith in Christ, there is no condemnation. There is no fear of death. There is no possibility of them being lost in eternal ruin and perdition to come. The debt has been paid. The victory has been gained and won. And every believer will come to heaven at last. It is sure and it is certain. I am come. And that is why it is certain, because he has come to save the lost, to save them by his holy grace, his matchless love, his abounding mercy. I am come. He's come to lay in that tomb. That body resting after that life of labor and of sorrow. He has come to that glorious moment of resurrection from the dead. He has come to show his disciples by infallible proofs that he was alive. He came to that Emmaus road and made those disciples' hearts burn. He came to his own disciples and said, "Peace be unto you." He came to Simon Peter and said, "Lovest thou me?" He came to Galilee and said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." He has come. I am come. He has gone back into heaven to reign and to rule and to prepare a place, child of God, for you, which he will one day receive you unto himself. I am come, and he comes into the hearts of his people. The Holy Spirit makes Jesus precious, makes Jesus attractive, makes Jesus suitable. He comes into that heart, and that heart is brought to know him as his shepherd. And the good shepherd cares for his sheep. The good shepherd loves his sheep. He watches over his sheep from his throne. He leads his sheep with love untold to feed in pastures fair. The feeblest lamb within the fold receives the shepherd's care. You may be the feeblest. You may be the weakest in faith. But you're as precious to the Saviour as that strongest sheep in faith is. Your shepherd takes the same care and concern over you as he does for that strongest. He feeds you with that same food and drink. He shed the same blood for you as he did for that strongest. He has woven the same robe of righteousness for you as he has for the strongest. And he's gone to prepare a place in heaven for you just as much as the strongest. And not a hoof shall be left behind in that last great day. You'll be there in heaven just as much as the strongest, and fear not. But don't be content with being the weakest. Because the strongest faith will give God the most honor and glory. Ask God to make your faith stronger. Ask God to make your love stronger. Ask God to draw you nearer to him, to make you a more consistent and fruitful walker. But know this: to him the weakest is as dear as the strong. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Dear shepherd, make us hear thy voice and learn to follow thee. O, may thy ways be all our choice, to prove thy choice of us.
The collections last Lord's Day were £735, and on Monday for our Needy Cases Fund, £1,023.60, for both of which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Buss will administer the Lord's Supper after this evening's service. Tomorrow evening there will be a prayer meeting with an address by Mr. Izzard. Will you please note that the church meeting has had to be postponed to Monday the 22nd of May, God willing, as Mr. Robert Field is quite ill. And God willing, Mr. Timothy Barker will preach on Friday evening this week, not on Tuesday evening as in the list. And Mr. Stephen Hyde will preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday school in the afternoon. Let us close with hymn 331. Beset with snares on every hand, in life's uncertain path I stand. Saviour divine, diffuse thy light to guide my doubtful footsteps right. Hymn 331.
May the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost, be with us each now and forever. Amen.